listening to the CCA Podcast.
Welcome to Calvary. What better place than to be right here together? Welcome, friends. Welcome, family. Isn't it cool to be part of a growing community of faith here in Seattle? Isn't that fun? Well, we're glad you're here. We're having a good time. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. I'm Ryan. We're the lead pastors here at Calvary, and we're just delighted for you to be here. Now, there was almost a church split earlier when Pastor Matthew was talking about who's going for who. I'm curious, who are you going for this morning?
Well, for the sake of keeping unity within the brethren, I may not answer that. But I will say, we're from Sacramento. I mean, give us a break. I grew up cheering for Joe Montana, all of it. In the past 10 years, I haven't really been into football. But if I have to choose, it's going to be the Niners. So.
That was a weak applause.
I know. That was so sad. Woo!
Well, I know if there's one thing, yeah, if there's one thing I'm going to be going for, it's going to be for the pizza, the wings, the salad. You know, that's what I'm going for today.
So. Yeah, I'm pro food.
pro food.
Hangout.
So, I'll bring my insulin and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, today's going to be a fun day. We're looking forward to this afternoon, but we're going to jump into scripture now. We're all about Jesus here at Calvary. I know I say this all the time, but we are all about one thing, Jesus. We're all about helping as many people as we possibly can, both find and follow Jesus, starting right here in Seattle and going around the world. It's an honor to do this together. It's an honor to be in this place this morning together to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. And I don't know where you are this morning in your narrative, in your story, but today is all about Jesus. I'm going to give this to you, babe. We're in a sermon series. This is our fourth week in the sermon series, Love Jesus, Love Seattle. And this morning, as I was preparing this week, praying scripture back to the Lord, we've been in the book of Micah the last few weeks, and I was praying this back to the Lord, and the question that kept coming to me was, how will you respond to God's invitation? And so this morning, in the fourth week of Love Jesus, Love Seattle sermon series, we're going to be exploring the question, how will you respond to God's invitation? Micah 1, 2, I love how he starts in this great book. This minor prophet says, hear, O peoples, all of you. Listen, O earth, and all who are in it. He wants our attention. He's starting by saying, hear the word of the Lord. The big idea this morning, if we were to highlight, it's in your notes. You can take your notes out, and we're going to move quickly this morning. But the big idea is Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts and gives us all opportunity to respond by loving Seattle. I heard the story of the new pastor in town who had decided to meet the people in his neighborhood. And one Saturday afternoon, he leaves his house and he's walking around the neighborhood, and he comes across this one house, and he notices the lights are on and he can hear some sounds, so he knows somebody's home. He goes up to the front door and he knocks, and there's no answer, and he repeatedly does this and nobody's answering. So he pulls out one of his cards, and before he slips it in the crack of the door, he writes on there Revelation 3:20. And that scripture he paraphrases, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who lets me in, I'm going to come in and dine with he and they with me. And so he leaves his car and he goes back to his car, heads down the street and meeting new people. And so the next morning, it's Sunday, and at church, the very card he left in the crack of the door shows up in the offering plate. And underneath the scripture that the pastor had written, it was written Genesis 3:10. And he read it and it said, I heard your voice in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And I wonder this morning, as As God comes and does this on our hearts, I wonder how many in our great city of Seattle are hiding for a number of reasons. It interests me this morning as I pray this text back to the Lord. I think there are many in Seattle, many in this room who perhaps might be hiding from God, avoiding Jesus for a number of reasons. But this text that Micah articulates, it's as if God is desiring, regardless of what's going on, to be known and to know. It's all he wants. He's after relationship with his people. He wants to get to know those he loves. God sends Micah. You read this text, and in this short book you read, he sends Micah between 704 and 696 BC to knock on the door of our hearts. Where has his knocking found you this morning? Three reflections real quick to Micah's knocking. Number one in your notes, am I hearing what's being said? Fair question. Am I hearing what's being said? Whose voice today matters the most? There are tons of voices. There's the voice of science. There's the voice of law. There's the voice of public opinion. There's the voice of faith. There's a whole lot of voices around us every day. Whose voice are you listening to? Are you tuning into? I find it interesting because Micah, if you read the context, he was tasked from God with keeping people alert and listening to his voice. Scripture says, listen, the Lord is calling to the city, Micah 6:9. Today, if we are to let that verse read us, not just simply read it, but let the scripture read us, it's as if God is saying, listen, Seattle, I'm calling to you. I'm calling out from heaven. I'm calling out to you. Micah speaks with promise, and his the text, the heart of the text is to renew and to give hope. There's compassion in this text. Scripture says this, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Why do I bring this text in particular up for our attention to contemplate this morning? Perhaps because this is one of the greatest prophecies about Jesus spoken 7 centuries in advance before he was born. This text in particular points to our Savior in our Lord 7 centuries in advance. I found that God's word always gives promise, always renews, and always unleashes hope in advance. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but if you'll take some time and keep God first place in your life, his word will bring promise in advance. Things may be seemingly unfair, things may be seemingly hopeless, but his word, the good news this morning is whatever you're going through, his word brings hope in advance. Bethlehem, you look at this text, this scripture, Micah 5:2, Bethlehem, you know what that means? It means house of bread. It's interesting to me because he says, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, I may have perhaps botched that word, but what I've found is that if you say it with enough conviction, people will start pronouncing it just like you do. Bethlehem Ephrathah. Think of it like this. Seattle in King County. Right? It's equivalent that way. So as you read the text this morning, don't get caught up on that Ephrathah. It's basically like comparable to the county, if you will. And so he says, Bethlehem, house of bread. Interesting to me that the house of bread, Bethlehem, the house of bread is where the bread of life was born into a starving world. We remembered Christ this morning, and we remember him today in communion service as we break the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread that gives life. Today, if you feel poor with low self-esteem or low self-confidence, today, if you're imprisoned with guilt for something maybe you've done or haven't done, maybe this morning you're blindsided with a bad break, maybe a bad breakup, if you will. Maybe you're oppressed this morning, anxious and perhaps overwhelmed in something that's seemingly impossible, stressed, whatever your situation may be. Maybe you're heavy laden with worry this morning. Jesus invites you, yes, you, to relax in his presence. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If there's one thing I know, it's this. Personally knowing Jesus, not just orthodoxy, makes everything in life better. When you personally know Jesus, it's going to change everything about your life. You know, Jesus loves Seattle, so I love Seattle. Jesus loves Seattle and wants to save all those who are heavy laden. Jesus said it this way. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that sounds pretty good to me. I mean, I don't know what you're going through this morning and who can hear my voice and who's listening, whose ears are awake, but that is a promise of hope. This is a message of hope. How this morning will you respond to God's invitation? If you wish to see the promise of Jesus fulfilled in your life, you must be willing to start first right here, listening to his voice. This week I had lunch with a missionary friend of mine, and it was so cool because every time we go out to eat with missionaries, I love to hear their story. Tell me your story. Tell me your narrative. How did you get to where you are? Tell me about your relationship with God. And so this in particular missionary friend of mine told me, he's telling me about his calling, when he had a sensing when it was time to go into missions. And I said, tell me a little bit about the story. He says, it was kind of like a normal service. We were worshiping, we were singing a song. He said, the in particular song was this, Jesus, I'll go. I'll go anywhere you send me. Jesus, I'll go. And that's the refrain. He just kept saying that. And he felt something in his spirit as he kept saying that. He felt something kind of talk back to him and say, will you? Will you go wherever I call you? Will you go to whomever I send you? And it was a moment of contemplation. It was a moment of, how will you respond to God's invitation? Well, he's getting ready. He's itinerating this in particular missionary and getting ready to go to Botswana, Africa. And this young man said yes. This young man opened the door to God's knocking in his heart. Three reflections to Micah's knocking this morning. Am I hearing what's being said? Number two, am I willing to obey? I've learned, what good is listening if I don't obey, right? I mean, it reminds me when I was in my formative years, and my dad would say, hey, take out the trash. And I'd be like, got it. I heard you. I'd acknowledge that I heard him, and then I wouldn't do it. Right? Anybody ever? Yeah, no, none of us are going to confess. That's okay. It's just me. I'm up here all by myself this morning confessing all my stuff. But isn't it true? Don't we do that? We hear, we know what we should do, and yet we don't. I've learned, have you learned this? I've learned that agreeing with Jesus isn't enough to call myself a Jesus follower. I've learned that following Jesus is all about following Jesus. It makes sense, right? But when we slow down enough to contemplate and to think of our life, like Pastor Matthew was encouraging us to do earlier, it's a reflection moment, isn't it? Am I willing to obey? Here's the million dollar question this morning. Am I a fan or a follower? See, we have some fans this morning of the teams that are playing. But man, if I were to stand up here and say, you know, any Seahawks fans in the house? Well, I thought the applause would be a whole lot better than that. It kind of ruined my point. Maybe I should just move on. Let's just go on. Am I a fan or a follower? Am I a fair weather fan? When it works in my favor, I'm going to go ahead and maybe tell somebody about Jesus? Or am I going to go like he told me to? You know, am I going to do it when I feel like it, just when I feel like it? Or am I going to do it when the opportunity presents itself? I'll go anywhere, Jesus. I'll do anything for you. I'm a Christian. I believe in you. I'll do it. And then I get a sensing in the middle of a song that says, are you really? Will you really? Are you all in? Right? This is the contemplation. This is the reflection this moment. Am I willing to obey? Jesus says it this way. Follow me. Isn't that fun? He just so simple, to the point. It's what we were talking about last week. Again, if you want to, in your Bible, just underline it, circle it, go back and read it again. But Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 8 and 9, where God says, he showed you, oh man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He makes it a three-point sermon. He takes the 613 precepts that all the ancient rabbi and scholars had put together. He brings it down to three, and he says this. He says, adopt justice, adopt mercy, and adopt humility as your consummate virtues. This morning, the question is this: how will you respond to God's invitation? Am I willing to obey? Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. I circled that in my Bible. Maybe you should circle it in yours too. Highlight it, underline it. I'm one who likes to margin and underline and highlight and write notes. This is important for us to just pause on. Blessed rather. How do you define success? Businessmen this morning. In this place, how do you define success? How do you define success in your life? How do you define students, singles, marrieds, widows, all different types, homeless? How do you define success? How do you define being blessed? Jesus defines it with obedience. He defines success as the single pinnacle of blessing. I've been reading through the Chronicles. It's been a lot of fun. There's a lot of different kings, a lot of different leaders, a lot of different people who you can read about and read the narrative of, and it's really quite exciting. I mean, there's some crazy stories throughout Chronicles. If you're looking for a good place to have devotions, jump into 2 Chronicles. And I read about the life of King Josiah. And he had such impact and influence. Jeremiah, the prophet, actually wrote laments about Josiah, and the people still commemorate King Josiah's leadership. Here's one of the things Jeremiah wrote in a lament when Josiah passed. He said, I call this the How to Obey Lesson 101 from Jeremiah, okay? He says this, he, speaking of Josiah, did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Wait, so you mean doing the next right thing in my life is what knowing Jesus is all about? You mean defending the cause of the poor and the homeless and the widow and the isolated and the marginalized, defending their cause? That's what it means to know Christ? That's what it means to know my Savior and my Lord? Is to overflow that type of good deed to others? How will you respond this morning to God's invitation? Oh, this is such a message of hope this morning, where James, Jesus' brother, his own brother, speaks up about real obedience. James says, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out. I circled that. Reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight. Furthermore, James says, yes, 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 indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law. That's the golden rule. As found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. This is good. This is good preaching this morning, Ryan. Amen, all by myself. I had a pastor friend who used to, amen, all by myself. But aren't these good, isn't this good stuff? I mean, this is like not me. This is God's word. This is the good news. This is hope for our city. This is hope for us this morning. Whatever you're facing, this is joy. This is peace. This is life. I found that love requires action. In other words, love equals good deeds, and good deeds equals impact. Interesting to me. Impact in a world that desperately needs hope. How? Love. How? Good deeds. Show it. Barna revealed that there is a, I quote, perceived absence of impact that could pose barriers to belief and should be taken seriously by church leaders. A perceived absence of impact. Let me show you this picture here. So this, I don't know if you can see it, but go to Barna.com later today if you want to research more of this. But because of my beliefs, and this is 18 to 35-year-olds, and I only focus on that because that's our future. Someone once told me, if you don't have vision for the future, you have no future. Kind of like today, just push a pause button on this. Kind of like today, a lot of us are going to do, hey, where should we eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Well, I don't know. And we'll go back and forth like that. You ever do that? No vision. No, somebody make it. Where are we going? Like, where are we going with this thing? So these people here, they go, because of my beliefs, it's important that I am concerned about the welfare of others. Look at these stats. Give of my time to help others in need. This is, by the way, this is both Christians and unchristians. All right, believers and non-believers. This is just a general consensus of people. Because of my beliefs, it's important that I stand up against injustices against individual or groups. Because of my beliefs, it's important that I stand up against corruption. It's important that I give of my own resources, including money, but also items to help others in need. This is interesting to me. What is this? This is a representation of the importance of impacting the world around us. Because of my beliefs, it's important. Is this important to us this morning? Is it important for you and I to show our love by the things that we think, by the things that we say, and by the things that we do? Think of it this way. Georgie Sweezy, who wrote an incredible book in my great-grandfather's library that I've recently read, says this: history shows that those periods in which the church has been most vital are those in which it has been most intent on reaching outside itself. Impact. Change. Love. Good deeds. And the brother of Jesus, his words, real religion, like the real deal, like that's the real deal, is to start with even just a smile on somebody. Man, good to see you. You know what a smile does in the middle of a coffee shop with everyone despondent and depressed, looking down and self-observed, and you just take a minute to pause and you say a prayer, you just a drive-by prayer, pow, just pray for them. You don't even know them, but you just pray, Lord, bless them, Lord, may my smile help them, encourage them, and you just look them in the eye and you say, hey, have a blessed day. I mean, anything, just an outflow of what God has done in you. Perhaps it's time we hit the reset button on our 2020 vision. I'm preaching to myself this morning, you guys. This was so much fun this week, studying this word. It was convicting. It was like, man, I need to change. God help me. Like, I want to be your light. I want to be your voice. I want to be your vessel. Here's mission Matthew 28. Where are we going? What are we doing? Here's what we're doing. Here's where we're going. We're following Jesus, and mission Matthew 28 says it best. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What if my life, here's the question I ask myself, what if my life helped Seattle find and follow Jesus? What if? What if? But Pastor Ryan, how? How do we share? I'm so glad you asked. I came across this really cool resource I want to give to you. It's so simple. How do we share? It's a website here. Check it out. It's a Simply Sharing Jesus brochure. It's like a 2 or 3 page thing. It's in your notes. You can take it and look it up online when you get home today. But you can download it, and it just gives the 411 on how to do it. How to share. A simple way how to share your story. A simple way how to share Jesus. A simple way how to overflow with hope in our city and to unleash God's love. How to start. Okay, how do we do it? Awesome, cool, check. How do we start? Where do we start? What do we do? As Pastor Matthew was talking about a little bit earlier today, as he so eloquently was doing when he hosted, he talked about our schools, and we've adopted 3 schools, Green Lake Elementary School and Eckstein Middle School and Sacagawea Elementary School and Eckstein Middle School. And did I say them? Yeah, Green Lake, Eckstein, and then Sacagawea, the 3 that we've adopted, and it's been so much fun. It's been so cool to be able to have a presence every week in these schools and to be able to unleash hope, to be a presence, to be a smile, to be joy, to be peace, to be Jesus, to build relationships. Why are we doing this? Because it's all about relationship. Why are we doing this? Because it's all about our city. Why are we doing this? Because it's all about Jesus. And this is one of those good deeds and good ways we can do it. So how do you do it? Sign up and volunteer. Do you have an hour a week? Do you have 30 minutes a week? Do you have any time these weeks coming up where you can say, you know what, I'm in. I want to give back to the community. Maybe perhaps you went to one of these schools. How cool would that be to go back and say, hey, I'm back, right? I mean, it's fun. How else? Alpha. Alpha's a great way. Bring somebody with you. We have these in your bulletins this morning. These are inserts. They're there. Yeah, they look cool and they're kind of fun, but they're not there just to be there. They're there for you to use as a tool to invite somebody with you. And here's how that invite goes. Hey, would you come with me one time? It's intimidating to say, hey, would you come with me from now till Jesus returns? Come on. Are you in or are you out? Come on. Just one time. Just one time. Would you come with me one time? You'd be interested to see what happens around a delicious catered meal that we provide. We're investing in this, okay? A delicious catered meal that we provide, free on the house for people. They come, they have a meal, and then what happens next? Then we show a video that talks about Jesus as priest and prophet and helper and friend and hope. And then what do we do after that? We have dialogue. We have questions. We don't sit around and talk apologetics and try to argue people into the faith. What do? We just show them Jesus' love. It's an amazing place to grow. It's an amazing place where we can make disciples of all nations. Consider Alpha. Consider our JLS projects. I put in there text give to 206-557-6322. Why do I do that? Because it costs money to reach a city. If God puts it on your heart, it's an amazing way to get in and to jump in and to be hope, to unleash hope to a city that so needs hope. Consider donating to the Jesus Loves Seattle projects, where the next thing in line is that we get in line and we help people. Not a handout, but a hand up to Jesus. What else are we doing? Missions 2020, our Missions 2020 vision, considering starting to support missions above and beyond your tithes and offerings. Consider supporting missions, because we're taking on 20 new missionaries. We've already taken on 2 so far this year. We're taking on 20 new missionaries in 2020. Why? Because the world needs to know that Jesus is hope. And we're moving forward, man. That's the vision. That's where we're going. That's what we're doing. Jump in. It's fun. Man, we're having a good time doing this. What else can you do? Check out what we did for some missionaries. This was really cool. Pastor Scott forwarded me these pictures from Barbara Grimes and Nancy Smith, missionaries to Burkina Faso who are now retired, and they were having some mobility issues. And so what did we do? We decided we're going to do some good deeds. And so Todd, our facilities manager, jumped in and he said, man, let's put a team together and let's build them a ramp. Man, they're having a hard time getting places. What is this? This is Jesus. This is love. This is hope. This is good deeds. This is a really good looking ramp. Come on. Right? Three reflections to Micah's knocking. Am I hearing what's being said? Am I hearing? Number 2, am I willing to obey? Number 3, will I answer the door? I love Micah because Micah contrasts those who were ignoring God's knocking. He says it this way. He says, all the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God. How long? Forever. And ever. Jesus is knocking. Now what? What's next? As I was preparing this message, I was in my personal reflection time and prayer. I came up with three different questions, three different steps to the door. Will I answer the door? Step one was this: examine your heart, Ryan. Examine your heart. David said it this way: create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. Because my heart represents everything that I think, say, and do. Jesus says, out of the heart is the overflow. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what's in your heart? Just listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Examine your heart, Ryan. Step number one. Step number two, come clean and confess. John said, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David owns his sin, and David confesses. Understand, this is written after David committed adultery. This is written after a period in David's life when he made some pretty bad mistakes, murdered, and slept around and did some stuff that wasn't cool. And David's quote-unquote own it confession template is this. He says, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. What is he doing? He's owning it. He's confessing his sin. God, help me. God, change my heart to want what you want me to want. I want to answer the door to you knocking on my heart. I don't want to ignore it and hide because I'm afraid. Lord, help me. And number three step is this: reset. Reset your joy and spirit with Jesus. The contemporary English version says it this way. It says, make me as happy as you did when you saved me. Make me want to obey. I like that wording. God, make me. God, make, reset. Push the reset button in my soul. Push the reset button in my mind. Push the reset button. I need your help. I can't do it myself. Help me to be as excited today as I was years ago when I gave my heart to you. Help me to see this city with compassion and love and care. Lord, to act justly, God, to love mercy and to walk humbly with you. Help me, God. I can't do it on myself. I can't do it on my own or by myself. Behold, here's what Jesus says. Behold, I make all things new. Oh, that's the good news this morning. See, this is the hope. This is the reset point where we go, thank you, Jesus, for your promise. Thank you, God, for your help. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to try to figure this whole thing out on my own. Because when we start trying to figure it out on our own, we're all wrapped up in guilt and condemnation. But that's not God's will. That's not the message. The message this morning is that there's hope, that God will make everything new. Your relationships, he'll make new. Your finances, he'll make new. Your job that you don't like, he'll make new. Your fighting with your spouse or your kids, he'll make that new. Whatever you bring this morning, he'll make new. Bring it to the hands of Jesus, and he can do wondrous things in your life. And here's the cool part, because after experiencing something new, what do you and I want to do? We want to tell everybody about it, just like I tell everybody about Portage Bay and how great the farmer's hash bowl with corned beef is. Wow! New every morning. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, and like I want to tell everybody that I got my car back. I finally, after a month of being in the shop, it's new. It's like new. Yes! I'm excited to tell everybody about it, or about the book I'm reading, Kelly Peterson's Crucial Conversations, How to Have Good Conversations When Your Emotions Are High. The stakes are high, your emotions running strong, and things are all out of whack. Why am I telling everybody about that? Because I read it and it helped me. I'm new because of it. Or maybe when my wife and I were dating. Oh, and it was like, oh my word, I tell it all my friends and everybody. This is so cool. How about the 10-year anniversary that we went on and we did a really cool cruise, and it was like it was new. Our relationship was new again. And wow, this is, I'm telling everybody. I'm showing pictures, and that's why we, half of us in here, Instagram and post stuff on Facebook. And it's new. It's new. It's new. Or a new job or a new car or a new house or new. He says, I make all things new. Oh, he wants to make it new this morning with you. He wants to prove himself David says, by God, you doing that in my life. Then, he says, I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. What is he saying? He's saying, because you helped me through my adultery, because you helped me through my biggest mistakes, because you helped me when I murdered, because you made me new and you worked in my life and you gave me hope and you unleashed a second chance like no one else, because you did that for me, I want to tell them about it too. Because I'm watching them on the streets going through the same thing. I can see it in their eyes. They're despondent. They're depressed. They're anxious. They're worried. They're under a whole lot of stress. And you know what, God? Because you've done that to me, then when you make me new, then I will teach transgressors your ways. Micah emphatically echoes this. Listen to this. He says, but as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord and with justice and might. To what? To declare. Circle that in your notes, if you will. Underline that right there, that scripture. To declare. To declare what? He, speaking of Jesus, will stand and shepherd his flock. Do you know what he's saying here? You know what a shepherd does? A shepherd gives his life. A shepherd will leave the 99 and go get the one. He says here, he will shepherd his flock. He loves you that much. He will sit there. You know when a little lamb is rejected, you know what the shepherd will do? The shepherd will take the little rejected lamb and he will bring it close and he will let that little lamb hear the heartbeat. And that little lamb, this is what shepherds do. He'll hold that little lamb close that's been rejected. Have you been rejected? Do you need Jesus to just hold you? You know, the other night, this is confessional this morning. The other night, I was so in the dumps. And all I could do was this. It's just too much for their pastor to confess this. But I'm despondent. I'm in a place. You ever been in a place? And I'm like this, almost in the fetal position, and I'm just... And I literally put my own arms around myself and I say, God, I don't need to feel my arms. I need to feel yours right now. Lord, would you hold me? Because I'm a little wounded lamb right now. And I need you, God. I need you more than I've ever needed you right now. There's stuff going on inside me that I don't even get. Lord, I need you to shepherd me right now. I need you to wrap your arms around me right now. I need you, God, in this moment to unleash hope in my life, God, through your word. Because Micah said his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. His arms are that wide. His greatness will reach to the ends of Seattle, to the deepest, darkest, most lonely place where somebody's in the fetal position and they need God to put their hands around for whatever reason. The reason doesn't matter. It's that they're there and they need hope and that they need help. His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth and he will be there. Peace. You got to help me preach this morning. He will be there. Peace. He will be there. Peace. I close with this. I love this book. If you're looking for a good read, No Greater Love by Mother Teresa. I read it at least once a year. Very easy read. You can read it in a day or two. And Mother Teresa, who knew Jesus so well, says this. She says, Jesus is the word to be spoken. Jesus is the truth to be told. Jesus is the way to be walked. Jesus is the light to be lit. Jesus is the life to be lived. Jesus is the love to be loved. Jesus is the joy to be shared. Jesus is the peace to be given. Jesus is the hungry to be fed. Jesus is the thirsty to be satisfied. Jesus is the naked to be clothed. Jesus is the homeless to be taken in. Jesus is the sick to be healed. Jesus is the lonely to be loved. Jesus is the unwanted to be wanted. Jesus is the leper to wash his wounds. Jesus is the beggar to give him a smile. Jesus is the drunkard to listen to him. Jesus is the mentally ill to protect him. Jesus is the little one to embrace. Jesus is the blind to lead him. Jesus is the dumb to speak for him. Jesus is the crippled to walk with him. Jesus is the drug addict to befriend him. Jesus is the prostitute to remove from danger and befriend her. Jesus is the prisoner to be visited. Jesus is the old to be served. To me, Jesus is my God. Jesus is my spouse. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my only love. Jesus is my all in all. Jesus is my everything. Jesus, I love with my whole heart, with my whole being. I have given him all, even my sins, and he has espoused me to himself in all tenderness and love. Jesus gives us his love, as Micah so articulates, on purpose, for a purpose. This morning, whether by feeding, clothing, housing, hospitalizing, educating, employing, encouraging, or equipping, what if opening the door of hope simply meant sharing Jesus with others? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Jesus is knocking this morning on all of our hearts, and my prayer is that you and I would respond. But the question is how? How will we respond? How will we respond to Jesus knocking? For those this morning, I want to extend an invitation. Maybe you've never made an official decision to follow Jesus, but this morning you found hope in this message and something, some scripture that stuck out to you, or some prayer that was prayed, or some song that was sung, has led you to finding Jesus, and you say, I want to follow him with all my heart. I'm going to ask you at the count of three to lift your hand, and I only ask you to lift your hand because I want to say a special prayer of blessing over you in your decision to open your heart, to open the door in your life for Jesus. If you'd like to make a decision and say, Pastor Ryan, I'd like to follow Jesus, I want to respond to his invitation today, would you just raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, and I want to pray with you. Yep. Got it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Any others? Yep, I see that hand. Any others? Any upstairs? You want to respond to God's invitation this morning? Yeah, thank you, those four who raised your hand. You can put them now down. Let's pray. Pray with me, those who raised your hand. Lord, I pray right now in this moment that, God, you would just pray this prayer with me, that you would cleanse me of my sin. Lord, I confess my wrong. I need a reset in my life, and Jesus, I'm looking to you for that. So, God, come into my heart, come into my life, cleanse me of my sins, wash me of my mistakes, and help me, God, wholeheartedly to follow you the rest of my life. I'm all in. I'm wholeheartedly yours, and I need your help. Jesus, your word says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I call on you. Come save me. Save me today, Lord God, and every day forward as I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning, church? I want to pray in closing this blessing over you. May the good Lord bless you and protect you. May the good Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the good Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And my prayer today, Calvary Christian Assembly, over you is, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you receive it this morning, would you put your hands together and give our great Lord and Savior Jesus a great big hand of praise? Yes and amen.